Good afternoon, everyone. I thought we might be lighter on numbers today with the choir over in the Cincinnati North area today. Welcome to anybody joining us via the web. Glad to have you with us. But our numbers are actually really strong today, so that's great. How many words do you think there are in the English language? Any idea? I had no idea, so I looked it up. Looks like in Merriam-Webster's dictionary and Oxford English Dictionary, I didn't count them all, but they say that they have over 470,000 words, approximately. So by contrast, the Hebrew language, so English 470,000, the Hebrew language, the Hebrew Academy estimates that they have only 45,000 words, so about 10% compared to the English language. And out of these 45,000 words, it only took 8,674 words to write the Old Testament. William Shakespeare, in all of his writings, used 31,000 unique words to write his books, which is nearly four times the number of unique words in Shakespeare versus the Hebrew Bible. So I think that's why in high school I probably struggled with all the Shakespeare. You know, I had to read things probably four times each, get out the dictionary, and I still didn't know what I was really reading. Makes sense. So why am I sharing these fun facts between English and Hebrew? Since Hebrew contains so many less words, it's interesting that that's why it's so important that we do deep dives into the Hebrew words. Because each word contains a lot more information often than our English words do. I saw a comparison to Hebrew words being compared to overstuffed suitcases. And I know all about that. We barely got home with all of our stuff from the feast this year. Every single bag was weighed to 50 pounds exactly so we could get on the flights without extra cost. There wasn't a single thing we could gotten into another suitcase. And that's how these Hebrew words are. They're packed with information. They're about to bust out the seams of the zippers, so to speak. Each word is bulging with extra meaning, and so to understand what God wants each of us to understand from the Old Testament, we often have to go deeper than just the first layer. So unpacking these Hebrew words can often help us to gain a much deeper level of understanding into God's inspired word. Today in this sermonette, we're going to unpack just one such word. Today we're going to look at the Hebrew word Shema, the Hebrew word Shema. This word typically is spelled S-H-E-M-A in English, and it's found in over 1,159 places in the Old Testament. But it is translated to a little more than 45 different words when it is translated. But 90% of the time, it's used in three ways. The most common way that Shema is used in translations, and that's the first one we're going to look at, is Shema, to hear. To hear. Let's go to Genesis 3 and verse 8. Now, this is the very first time Shema is used in the Old Testament. Genesis 3 and verse 8, right at the beginning. Since this is a word study sermonette, we're going to look at a few more scriptures, not for the sake of necessarily understanding each of those scriptures, but for understanding this particular word. Genesis 3:8, it says, "And they Shema, the sound of the Lord. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves and from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." And they, Shema, they heard. Sometimes Shema is that simple. It simply means to let sound waves enter your ear and hear the sounds. The second way we're going to look at today is Shema to respond. Shema to respond. Let's go to Psalms 27 and verse 7. Psalms 27 and verse 7. And it starts out saying, "Shema, O Lord," or "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me." So what was David pleading for God to do in this particular situation? Would it have been enough for David to know that God was simply hearing the words of his prayer? Is that all that you and I want when we pray to God? Well, I think all of us would say, no, that's not all we want. We don't want God just to hear the words that we've said. We want help. We want consideration. We often want God to take action, not merely just to hear our words. David wanted God to respond in merciful actions and to answer the words that God had heard. Many times in the Bible, the word Shema is translated hear or heard, but it often means much more than that. When we just simply see that word hear or heard, it's often a desire for either us or God to respond. This use of the word Shema requires us to hear, to consider what we've heard, and decide what action should be taken, if any. And then the third and very important meaning of Shema is to obey. And that's what inspired today's sermonette. Shema, to obey. One of the coolest things I learned in doing this study is that in ancient Hebrew, there isn't a separate word for obey. It's the same word, Shema, as to hear. 81 times, the same word Shema is translated obey. And many other times, even when it does translate it to hear, it's implying that you're supposed to obey, to be obedient. Let's look at some of those examples in Leviticus 26 and verse 21. Leviticus 26 and verse 21. It says, then if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to Shema me, to obey me, I will bring on you seven times more plagues according to your sins. And God repeats this down in verse 27 again. And after all this, if you do not Shema me, if you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins. Now, God wasn't asking them here to simply hear him. He wanted them to take action and to obey him. If they had heard without obeying them, without obeying God, God was going to bring about severe punishment on them. Let's look at another example in Psalm 95 and verse 6. Psalm 95 and verse 6. This is a time when it's actually translated here, but it's clear David is instructing us as listener to obey God. Psalm 95, verse 6, and we'll read through verse 10. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will Shema his voice, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of the trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. David is telling them not to repeat the same mistakes that their ancestors had made, but to be sure that they were obeying the voice of God, not just hearing. The word Shema describes hearing, but it also is the effect that that hearing should have on us, to take heed, to be obedient, to do what is asked of us. As parents of children, I think we often understand that we can sometimes use hearing and listening in much the same way. You know, kids, it's time to pick up your toys and come to dinner. And a few minutes later, you hear from the other room, the playing hasn't stopped, so you walk in there and you say, did you hear me? That's all you have to say. And the kids instantly say, yes, Dad, I'm putting away the toys now. They knew what they were supposed to do. They had heard, but you were saying the hearing required an action. You are expected to hear and obey. And we often use those phrases, do you hear me or are you listening, in much that same way to remind them that hearing is not enough, that appropriate thought, response, obedience is required. The final thing about Shema that I wanted to point out today is the use of the double Shema. 18 times in the Old Testament, it uses Shema, Shema. It adds extra emphasis. It means to diligent, like instead of just heeding something, to diligently heed, or instead of just to obey, to indeed obey, or carefully obey, or certainly heard, or hear attentively. When the word is repeated twice, it gives it that extra emphasis. So listening becomes listen carefully, or heard becomes certainly heard. And let's look at one example of that today. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 13. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 13. And this is the last scripture we'll actually turn to. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 13, and it says, "And it shall be that if you shema my commandments," earnestly obey is how it was translated, "my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." To shema, earnestly obey. And God goes on in verse 14 and 15 to describe the blessings that would come if they would do that and that he would give them, not to just someone who would hear, but to someone who would earnestly obey, to shema. So what does this mean for us today? What should shema mean for us today? I think it's important that for us to recognize that hearing and understanding God's word is not enough. It's a miracle that God gives us to open our minds so that each and every one of us can understand what we're reading, we can understand the messages that we hear, but simply hearing is not enough. God requires us in the word of Shema to hear and respond and obey. If all we do is hear and nod in agreement and we don't change ourselves, we don't become obedient to God, then we are worse than someone who doesn't even know. In the word Shema, hearing and obeying are two sides of the exact same coin. God commands, and so we do. If we understand we are commanded by God to do something, we don't wait to evaluate it. We don't determine why maybe God wanted us to do that. We simply understand and obey. We hear and obey. Once it's heard, it demands a response. James 1 and verse 22, we won't turn there. It's a scripture you're probably familiar with. It says, "But doers of the word," that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. So hearing is not enough. When we hear, we must obey because it's the same. And there is no reason for them to even put a Hebrew word in to say to obey, because when you hear, you obey. We must all strive to put what we understand and what we are being taught into immediate action. We have seen here today that the Hebrew word Shema can often mean much more than simply hearing. We see that when God heard the prayers of his people, he would give focus and attention to those prayers and respond. In ancient Hebrew, there was not a separate word for obey. So if somebody wanted to say, listen and do what you're told, they said Shema. Brethren, as followers of God in Jesus Christ, let's remember that real listening to God takes more than just hearing. Real listening to God takes more than just hearing. It requires action. Let's strive to be doers of God's word and to put all into action, all that we shema.